Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique's Manifest Monday Show. I'm your host, Mary Brotherton, and every Monday at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, I'll bring you a new episode to help you become a manifest master. Today I'm here with Reverend Jillian Harris. She joins me on the second Monday of every month to talk about the power of manifesting. Before we get into today's show, I'd like to tell you a little bit about her. Jillian teaches how to use colors, aroma, stones, crystals, as well as strategic thought and authentic emotion to work as tools toward manifestation of goals. She is an author, intention coach, metaphysical consultant, and a conscious creation specialist. We have so much to talk about in a short time, so without delay, let me welcome today's co-host, my friend and spiritual sister, Reverend Jillian Harris. Jillian, what shall we talk about today?
Oh, my goodness. We just had an earthquake.
Uh-oh. Well, we can talk about earthquakes. We can talk about how to manifest them away. How big is it?
Actually, I say manifest them to happen in a manageable way.
Oh, I like that.
So that the earth can go ahead and do what she needs to do.
Yes.
She needs to release that energy. So we don't want her to have it just all pent up. But we need her to release it in a way that it's not so crazy that I fall off my chair, my house breaks and falls off the mountain and what, like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, that would be unpleasant.
Very unpleasant.
Whenever we have, and we're still in the throes of hurricane season over here in Florida.
Right.
I don't ever ask for them to go away.
Right.
Instead, I just say, hey, you know, Mother Nature, could you send that rain over to California?
Right.
Or wherever else they're having a drought.
Yeah.
And sometimes...
You're not in drought mode.
Oh, my gosh. Walking in my grass is like walking on a wet kitchen sponge.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's no drought going on here. I will tell you, though, a little story before we get into what we're going to talk about. Several years ago, we lived in one of those little postcard neighborhoods where, you know, every yard was beautiful, and because they had people do it so that nobody was negligent. But my husband and I were outside, and I reached down, pulled up a weed or two, and a lady walked by. And she says, oh, can you believe it? We haven't had rain in so long. We're in a drought. And I said, well, we could change that, you know. She goes, how? I said, let's do a rain dance.
Right.
Oh, I don't know how to do that. And so I did a little weird step or two, and I had my hands up into, you know, reaching up to the heavens, and I'm pulling it down. And I said, bring down the rain. Bring down the rain. Good God in heaven. Bring down the rain. She looked at me as she's walking away. She said, I'm going to pray for you. I said, thank you. And I was praying right then.
Yeah.
I didn't get down on my knees. I wasn't holding a rosary. I wasn't very reverent.
Right.
But, you know, God made me the way I am.
That's right.
And he calls me his class clown. So I accept it, and I wear that title with grandeur.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure that God calls you a clown, but okay.
Oh, no. It's a very loving term.
Okay.
I'm his class clown. I'm always auditioning.
Got you. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that you know, instead of asking stuff to stop, that might be unrealistic. And in a lot of the day-to-day circumstances, things that happen to us as we go along. And maybe instead of asking it to stop, it's asking or intending that we get through it in a manageable way and come out of the other side in a successful way, somehow thriving.
See there, if I was smart, I'd have said, and if I was dishonest, I would say, I planned it so that you could give that lesson. I actually didn't plan it at all. I don't. My filter is still broken. I'm a Morgan Muffle. I don't wake up early in the mornings. I mean, I do wake up because I have to. I don't embrace the mornings. Let's say it that way.
God.
However, they did turn into a very good teachable moment, because saying to something, stop, I want this behavior to end. I want my significant other to stop doing what they're doing. That's negative.
Yeah.
That stop is a no word, and the universe doesn't appreciate that. So this was wonderful, because now you helped me explain one part of the laws that require, that are required to manifest. You speak it into existence. You speak it in a positive term. You speak it with present tense, and you're always steering things to you. And I like that. And it's important that people remember that all of these things that the world is going through, whether it's ice caps melting, earthquakes happening, hurricanes, floods, whatever is happening, has happened before, and it will happen again. This is the way Mother Earth goes. This is her way of going, I just need a break. And, any man or woman, and most children, go through moments of needing to release the pressure. Kids run and play. Parents, unfortunately, sometimes drink. But, we all have – I paint. I love painting, and that is my way of – and I think I told you before, I'm manifesting a drum for myself, a very specific kind of drum. And
I'm not sure I remember that. Remind me again, because I love it.
I woke up one morning, and the word taiko was in my head.
Okay.
And I'd never heard of a taiko. I didn't know what it was.
Right.
So, of course, the first thing I did was I sat down with my phone, and I looked up the word taiko, T-A-I-K-O. It's a Japanese drum. It's a very specific Japanese drum. And I can hear the timbre of the drum that I want. They come high-pitched. They come booming like the thunder. Now, I don't want the big drums that, cost $100,000. I just want an affordable drum.
Right. And this is a drum that you hit with sticks, or is it a drum with use of hands?
You can do either, but I want the bocce sticks is what they call them. They're kind of fist sized.
Okay.
So they're not like something you hold in your fingertips and da 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 da. These are boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. In fact, that same day I was so overwhelmed with, once I found out what a taiko was.
Yeah.
I was so overwhelmed with the idea of manifesting this into my life. I went out, I carried the recycling out, and for whatever reason that night before, my husband had been drinking beer from bottles rather than cans, which is his custom.
Right.
So there were two beer bottles in my hand as I was throwing away the recycling, and I just banged on the side of the recycling can. It was like bam, 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 or more like a bam, rattle,
right.
But I beat on that trash can like a drum until reason overtook my passion.
Right.
And I realized, you could break these bottles, throw them away, dummy.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I do stuff like that. I make sounds. I love to drum on stuff that's not a drum.
Well, anything can be a musical instrument if you know how to do
it. Oh, yeah. Put a few of them together and get a rhythm going. Oh, my gosh. That excites me. Yeah.
But
so
you do drum circles, too, don't you?
Well, I've never actually done a drum circle, but I want to start doing them because I've got a great park near my house, and I did sound baths a lot, like where to have people come for sound baths, but now with, the COVID thing and whatnot, I want to do stuff outside, and I'm concerned about the hold on a second.
Okay.
That. And I'm concerned about the singing bowls need a ceiling bounce off of, like the vibration, which then comes back into your body, you know? And so you get your best effect if you're in a room of some sort. So I'm just like, okay, I think the singing bowls thing is not going to happen right now. I don't like what happens over the internet with it. It's like it loses so much of the power that it has when you're in its presence, its physical presence. So drums, that's different, though. I can feel that, you know, even over the internet, but I want to do drum circles, and it's magical to me to actually play with other people and have a thing synchronistically happening with other people and their instruments. I love that. So I've never done it, but I'm about to.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll send you pictures on Facebook.
Yay!
Yeah, totally. That little earthquake was only a 1.7.
Well, Mother Nature just needed to burp. Sorry, folks.
That's what that was. That was literally a little burp. Exactly. How funny.
That's because you said you don't want to stop the earthquakes. You want them to be manageable.
Yeah, go ahead and express what you need to express. You got to burp. If you need to burp and you can't burp, how is that? You know?
It doesn't feel
good. My mom
good.
Is from Jamaica, and there's a Jamaican saying, but I don't remember the total words to it, but she would say it with her accent. And it's something about this woman. She needed to fart, and she didn't. She exploded. But it's so funny the way they say it. This
oh.
You know, you need to handle that in a manageable way.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Point that over there.
Exactly. That's so funny. Oh, my goodness. I have an announcement.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yeah, you're gonna not like it, maybe. Or maybe you'll like it. I don't know. But so we've been, you know, usually at the end of this, you know, we tell folks that find me at JillianHarrisWorldwide.com. And,
right.
You know, Jillian Harris Worldwide, that still works and everything, but it's just like so like, how do you spell Jillian? How do you, you know, there's that world, I don't know why the worldwide would get people, I don't know, it's simple to me, worldwide. But so now the conscious cougar, not that folks can necessarily spell conscious, you forget the S, don't forget the S. In conscious, but theconsciouscougar.com will take you to exactly to the same place, and that's more in alignment with everything that I'm doing now. So she, the conscious cougar, is coming out with my mission statement being basically that it's the topics and whatnot are designed so that ultimately my intention can be met where I can help others feel just as conscious. But then, of course, it brings up the subject of, well, because I have a dear friend, she's like, oh no, I want to get married. I don't want to be a cougar. I'm like, what on earth does getting married have to do with being, so there are a lot of different opinions about what a cougar is.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it doesn't have necessarily anything to do with, like, sex, actually, even, or who you're dating. You can be married, and you can even be, being a cougar to me has a lot to do with the imaging of the woman. It's a savvy, smart, ambitious female. I just see that as a cougar, and if you're, like, over 35 or 40, then you get to be a cougar. You get to be called that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're some hoochie mama out there trying to maintain your look as you were when you were 17 and trying to, you know, date folks who are 20 years younger. Although that's, you know, I'm not judging anybody. But I'm just saying that's not totally what it is. So having
exactly.
Really, yeah, big fun. I just
The fact that you are an older woman who ends up in a relationship with a younger man doesn't make you a cougar either.
Oh, interesting. What makes you a cougar in your eye?
Well, let me preface this with one of my stories.
Okay.
My oldest son's most current ex-wife called me up before they got married about 6-7 years ago.
Okay.
And I am married to a man who is 15 years my junior.
Awesome.
And so she's 8 years older than my son. So she called me up one day and she said, Mary, I have to know, how much older do you have to be a cougar? And I said, excuse me? She said, well, I'm older than Richard, and I'm just wondering if that makes me a cougar or not.
Right.
And I said, well, the way you're using this term, I'm thinking no. I said, why would you ask me?
Right.
And she said, well, because you're so much older than Curtis. And
right.
I said, and you think that makes me a cougar because I'm older than him?
Right.
Well, yeah, that's the definition of a cougar, is an older woman who hooks up with a younger man.
Okay.
And I said, no, that's not really. But I really like the way you explained it, that you're conscious of your cougarness, and you claim that. And
right, yes, but I don't think all cougars are conscious. But
no,
I would like,
and I think my former step former daughter-in-law was not conscious.
Right. Yeah. So that's the part. And a lot of it for me, the term and everything. Well, it all stemmed from that last book. Have we met? How do I identify your reincarnated loved ones? Because I realized I was in a thing, and I was reliving this romance with this person who actually I knew him when he was like 50 something, and I was 20 something, and now it was kind of flipped because he was back in a new incarnation, and I recognized him, and so now we were experiencing this energy, which basically was a bleed over from that other incarnation, but. As we were both experiencing this, I'm talking to my mom one day, and I'm like, okay, so wait a minute. What does this mean exactly? A lot of folks think that the cougar, the woman, if she's older than the man, then she's got to be wealthy. What's that about? That's not cool.
Oh, and that was so not me.
Yeah, and then also it's not cool when you think about the, basics for women. We just, your basic profile. The man is supposed to pursue the woman and he loves to gift her and stuff like that. And so as a female, I still want that, and for me to have to flip that and do, that's just not right. So that's one of the first things that came up for me. I'm like, okay, wait. Something about this is tweaked and I need to talk about it. And, so yeah. Cougardom. I'm sorry. Did I take us down a different path than we meant to be?
Sweetheart, it is perfectly fine. We've talked about manifesting, and anything else is gravy.
Right.
But no, we're manifesting. Number one, that people will, and I will change your description and your website and all that, so that from now on it will reflect. If they want to find out more about you, they visit theconsciouscougar.com rather than Jillian Harris Worldwide Metaphysical Services, which is a mouthful.
It is. Oh, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. The other big thing is that as women do this aging thing, there are things that, are physiological changes, can sometimes make folks or lead folks down a path that is lesser in terms of self-esteem and feeling like enoughness, and that's not conscious, So I'm absolutely here to help folks stay awake to just how incredibly awesome and priceless and radiant they always are and can be, no matter what the number is.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
nice.
For sure. So that's my story now, and I just needed to express it. And I just did a beautiful piece on infatuation. And, infatuation is, as I really have dug into it now, that's something that I want to maintain in my marriage to the last day of it, The energy of infatuation is amazing and powerful. So why wouldn't we want that? That's that honeymoon phase. Why would we want that to happen forever?
Exactly. And
yeah.
I will tell you, I've been with my cub.
Yeah.
for 21 years now.
Yeah.
And there are moments that I'll catch him looking at me,
yeah,
and it just melts my heart.
Absolutely.
Because that love is still there.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Yes. And he probably catches you doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah, he better.
Exactly.
But,
so
I mean,
you brought up something. Oh, go ahead. I'll let you know.
The fact that we've been together so long,
yeah,
it's like we've been simmering on the stove. We're a pot of stew. And you know, there are certain foods that taste better a day or two after you cook them.
Right.
And that's how I feel our relationship is. It grows.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't, I laugh at him because, you know, sometimes we'll just take a day off, or a night, you know, instead of going back to our computers after dinner, we'll just sit down on the couch and binge on some show.
Right.
And at the end of it, I'll say, thank you for taking me on this date. He goes, this wasn't much of a date. I said, honey, it was great because we were sitting together. We weren't fighting.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't spend any money. But we spent time together. And we,
yeah,
may not have even had a conversation. We might have just sat there mute and watched it.
Right.
But we were still physically together and energetically together.
Yeah. See? That's fabulous. So I'm in support of people getting that back when they've lost it. And, you know, one of my things is, why go get it in another new relationship thinking it's dead here? Why don't you rekindle it right here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because so often the next relationship is only going to last until the honeymoon wears off.
Exactly.
My son's been married 4 times, and I would say that was his problem, but it's not. All but one of the relationships ended because she wanted it to.
Right.
Only one of them ended because he felt like this is not working. We have different goals.
Right.
You know, she wanted a condo. He wanted a house for the kids.
Right.
And, you know, he wanted to be sober, she wanted to drink.
Right. Were they originally more in alignment and then it separated, or did they realize that they'd never quite been in alignment?
They never quite fit.
Right.
And they knew it.
They
knew it because their teenagers were kind of taking a pool over how soon they were going to break up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's not cool. I wonder who won.
I don't know. I'm scared to ask.
Me too. It might have been.
Yeah, I'm scared. I know that they'll tell me.
Right. Oh, my God. That's so funny. Yeah. Yeah, so that's a bummer. You know, therein lies the need for consciousness from the beginning.
Exactly. And the thing is, this is the one that asked me about being a cougar. What does it take to be a cougar?
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
Right. How old is she?
50.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good age to wonder about that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, at the time, she was 42 or so.
Yeah. I would definitely say that I was a cougar in my 40s, too. But, you know, I didn't even mean to.
Well, if I was a cougar, I was not conscious. I can promise you that.
Right. I wasn't conscious, I was less conscious. I was conscious, but not as conscious as I am now, which is part of
our journey. I was conscious as a human being. I could walk and talk and chew bubble gum at the same time back in those days, but I was not conscious of my cougarness.
Right.
You know,
that
goes back to the, if I knew then what I know now.
Oh, right. Yes, yes, yes. I'm glad I didn't know then all the things I know now, or I wouldn't have had as much fun.
Exactly.
I would have ixnayed the fun. I wouldn't have had the fun.
I had lots of fun in my 40s, And if I had known, if my spiritual self had grown to where I am today,
yeah,
I would have just, like you said, I'd have just put a it on the fun and said, oh, we can't do that. That's not very
right.
kind. That's not
right.
good for his development.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, and being in support of more positive things to preserve yourself spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. So, you know, there's that part of the unconsciousness where it was just about fun to a degree. But I was really waking up a lot in my 40s. The only thing that really shocked me was, you know, I was just stunned that I would attract people so much younger than me. And I took it as a compliment, but it still shocked me. I was like, wow, this is shocking. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, even in my 30s, I was still married then, but I found that my eyes wandered toward the 20-year-olds.
Right. I think it was habit.
I don't know.
Maybe
we were cougars all along. We just didn't realize what skills we had.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. That's so funny. Or yeah. Oh my God.
Well, I'll tell you when I divorced my husband, my oldest son had just turned 21.
Okay.
And I promised myself that I will never, ever date anyone under the age of my son. My oldest, you know, I don't care what age I am, I have to date someone who's older than my oldest son. It just didn't seem right.
Okay.
I
don't have a son, so I can imagine that would be, yeah, okay.
I mean, you see all the time, you see all these little Hallmark movies or whatever where this older woman's marrying, you know, dating a 20-year-old and her son's 25.
Right.
And there's a lot of struggle there.
Yeah.
So at the time when I found it was so weird. It didn't take me long to find Curtis. And I met him. He was 28. So he was he was 8 years older than my son, actually, by the time I got to him. By the time I got to Curtis, he was 29, I think.
Okay.
So... But I manifested that without even knowing it. I'll never date
right.
anyone younger than my oldest son.
Wow. Right.
No, I didn't.
Right. Well, that's awesome that you did that. You were working subconsciously or subconscious. That's one of the things to get people conscious about. That we're never really sleeping. Stuff's going on. We are
uh-huh.
awake the whole time. And so then to get in alignment with what you're unconscious or subconscious is busy doing is one of the key tricks to living a smooth life, you know, and not being too stunned by things that happen, because we create it all. You created that. You didn't know it.
Yeah.
You did it.
And
you were working. You were on it.
And I can look back right now and see so many things that I have brought into my life without being conscious of it. And now that I'm aware of how things work,
yeah,
I am much more careful with my words.
Ah, yes, those words. So I had a stone that I chose for today. And
oh yes.
Yeah, and it's weird. I wondered where I was going to go with this, and I didn't know why I was going there. It's the Gemini and me, the oh so mutable, all over the place Gemini, chose the mood stone. But what was, I'm like, what's in there? Is that real? Is that a real thing? Or did, you know, some sort of man-made whatnot? And so then I find that it is a man-made whatnot, but it's made of real stuff. And then, you know, learning or seeing terminology about liquid crystals. I mean, crystals, that's stones, you know.
Right.
Power to crystals, but then liquefying them. I didn't know that that could happen. And I need to, like, look more into that. But so liquid crystals and then thermochromic crystals. So they're affected by heat. But what I think is interesting and profound about this, and just in summation real quick, I'm talking about, you know, like, for instance, mood rings.
Yes.
You put the ring on, and depending on how you feel, it changes colors. And actually, it's how it's how much temperature really it's getting from your body. And
if you're really
and
angry, your body's going to be hot.
Interesting.
You think about it. I'm so angry that I get warm, and if you're relaxed and calm, your body's going to cool down a little bit.
But so then your body would then maybe have the same temperature if you're really sad and depressed and grieving.
Uh-huh.
Hard. Mm-hmm. Because I know blood pressure goes up when you cry really hard.
Yes.
And it goes up when you're mad and you're not crying at all.
Yes, it does.
Yes. So there's that. So the ring, you know, the stone, this mood stone can definitely have, I want to say, false positives and positive falses. But, you know, it's having its effect. But really what I'm looking at is when you have our spirit body, you know, you got your physical body, you got your spirit body, and then you have the energy field around that, which is radiated out from our spirit bodies. And then that energy field has a color to it, and that color changes. That's our aura. Some people
uh-huh.
are lucky enough to be able to see their aura, I mean, or see other people's auras, really, to be able to see what color they are and stuff and how they change. And parts of your aura, you can have, your aura can be showing different colors in different areas depending on what's going on with your whole energy field. So I thought this was interesting that this happens, and then the stone does the same kind of thing, and we're actually able to control. This is where the consciousness comes in, what's happening. So let's say, you know, you have the stone, and it's doing the color that indicates either big upset or, you know, like you were just saying, angry, blood pressure, I mean, or heat, and or the other way, you know, the depression and the grieving and the sadness can also make you do that. So just to be aware of your colors, so you got this tool, and I'm not really saying everybody needs to go out and get a mood ring, but you know, that this is what's happening in your energy field and, you know, the aura. And then what happens then is we affect our world and our circumstances and our intentions and what we're doing by this core situation. You know, what color are we coming with? Where are we starting from? And that's going to play into our outcomes. So that's what my fascination was about the mood rings and how to make them and stuff. And so I thought I would share.
Yeah, that's really cool that they get the crystal, melt the crystal, make it hard again.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool.
And then it communicates really with us. Instead of just being a show, it's trying to communicate with us for, you know, as a tool. And
I love
our,
it.
Yeah, and our energy bodies kind of do the same thing, you know, like they contract and they expand. So when we're all full of love for one extreme, full of love and joy and whatnot, it expands out. So like when somebody comes into a room and, you know, and you just like you turn your head because you feel this person, and then you see them
yes.
and they're just like seemingly larger than life, although they might be a little teeny-weeny person, but their energy is just so huge, you know, and they've got everybody's attention without even trying to do that. They didn't even say anything. You know, all they did was walk in the room. So then there's the other person who may be in the same room, just walked in, but nobody notices. And it has to do with their energy field being like so shrunken, it's like against their physical body, like, you know, where you just popped the balloon, so to speak, and that is because of how they're feeling and what's going on, not only emotionally, psychologically, but physiologically it plays in. If your body is sick, if you got like a flu going on or whatever, that will affect your energy field and stuff. But so then this energy field then, that's a tool for you, although you may not, it'd be nice to get familiar with. That's why I so advocate people taking at least Reiki 1. Are you a Reiki practitioner?
I am.
I knew it. See, I knew. It takes one to know one. But, you know, to be able to detect and you can feel, you know, how your energy field is going, and then to be able to do a treatment and flush it, clear it, you know, and charge it so that it can help you feel better and perceive better and live out your intentions with, you know, more precision.
I agree. I definitely agree. We actually have a caller on the line. I don't know if this person has a question.
Okay.
Hello there.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Santa Barbara, California.
Okay. Welcome to the show. Did you have a question for Jillian?
I was just listening. I had just gotten on. I just saw that you were on, and I thought, oh, this sounds very interesting. I'm
What's
a manifester myself. I seem to manifest a lot. I'm very lucky. I've
awesome.
Won, like 10,000 here, a car, trip to
oh my
Taiwan,
God.
Italy. Yeah.
Amazing.
So I think, and I meditate, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I meditate, and I also have visions, you know, so that has a lot to do with it, too.
Right. Can I ask what your name is?
My name's Donna.
Donna? Nice to meet you. Go ahead.
Nice to meet you. Yeah, but it's just wonderful, and it does have a lot to do with the energy, because even like when I go to the casino, I kind of know when I'm going to win because I know how my energy is.
Right.
If it's all tight, my energy, and I'm inside, I'm not going to win. Yeah, like you were just talking about.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about, being able to know yourself and your energy field that well.
How can you open up that energy? How can you keep that energy open most of the time? I don't know.
Oh, are you asking me that question?
Yes, Jillian, yes.
Because I believe that what needs to happen is that's part of the Reiki thing that I'm pushing Reiki today actually sit and do an energy treatment to yourself, you know, where you're following, like, for instance, just as one of a bazillion examples, following a white ball of light that's maybe coming down. It can be from the earth and coming up to, you know, up through your body from your feet going all the way to the top of your head, and then back down through again. And then to get that ball of light to go faster and faster up and down through your entire body, but not just your physical body, your entire energy body. And that does a clearing and a charging. It's kind of like brushing your teeth in the morning, taking that shower. You know, it's that energy hygiene, I call it, you know, to get yourself fresh, to get your slate clear of anything from yesterday, anything that's not positive and in alignment with what you want, so that you're consciously preparing your whole energy field for what it is that you're going to do that day or in that moment.
Oh, interesting. Oh, I'll
do
that then. I'll do that every day. Yeah, with the white light. And,
awesome.
I could see how that
I think
would
rituals
that.
And routines are so important, don't you?
Absolutely. But I also think there's some technology that has been able to detect numbers, show a difference when people are actually doing this. There was a research piece done, a study, where they had a person who was laying on a table, and this is going to sound gross for a split second, but they took a piece of his tissue from his body and put it on a microscopic slide thing. And so they're looking at it through a microscope. Now, at the first they started, and he was in the same room with this little piece of tissue in the microscope. So they then ask him to feel certain emotions, feel love, feel frustrated, feel happy, feel, you know, stuff. And they're watching the cellular changes in the microscope of the tissue that is not even connected to him anymore.
Wow.
And they took the microscope and moved it farther away from him, out of that room, across the building, and asked for the same things, and the same things happened. So this says to me that, you know, we're that much in control. We need to be that conscious of what's happening with our body and the energy of it. And so doing this every day, I mean, otherwise, what are we carrying with us day to day to day? You know, something upsets us one day. We kind of get over it, but you know what? It's still back there. It's like in the closet of, you know, our mind or whatever. And it's still kind of there until we've processed it, at least run it through the energetic dry cleaner, kind of, you know, to bring it back to a powerful place, to its origin, without being tainted by what we went through. Yeah. So that's just how I see it. You know, you want to not have to go to the dentist so often. You brush your teeth and, you know.
I like that analogy.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you are not able to, if you feel like it's been a long time, whatever, find a Reiki practitioner near you and go and get a treatment, you know, get a one-time tune-up and start there. And ask them, ask anyone for a tool of how to clear your energy, how to charge it, what exercise can you do, because there are lots of them. I also love the red ball of light coming from the earth and starting from the bottom, going to the top. And I really love that red ball of light from the earth and then a white ball of light from the heavens. So you've got both happening at the same time, and they're going to come up, they're going to meet eventually, slowly. It's a meditative process. I'm just speeding it up really right now for the conversation. But they're going to meet right around your heart chakra. And for me, when this happens, it's magical. And then they're going to twisting and turning into each other as the white light continues down and the red light continues up. And in my mind, I kind of see it almost like a candy cane of the red and the white. And this rushing and flushing through your system of those two colors coming from, you know, the powerful Mother Earth and then, you know, the Creator above, like, oh, my God. So, yeah. Wow, I just did a treatment on myself just explaining that.
I love it.
Yeah. So there you go. Donna, are you still with us?
Oh, I'm here. Thank you.
Awesome. I used to live in Santa Barbara. I loved it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's beautiful here.
And did you say you did or did not feel that earthquake at 8 a.m.? 8 a.m.
No,
our time.
No, I did not.
Okay.
Yeah, we had an earthquake?
It was small. What I first saw was like a 1.7 somewhere near Agoura Hills.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just happened to be right by Agoura Hills, so I felt it.
Oh,
but
my.
Anyway, yeah, just controlling our energy. And, you know, when we do that, how big a difference is that going to make for our entire day?
Definitely.
So anybody can do that, sitting in your car, at your office, you're sitting there, stop for a second. If nobody's looking, close your eyes, go inside and envision that ball of light or both balls, whichever one you want, and up and down through your system, and yeah, that's how you activate that kundalini fire. Yeah.
I feel like I just had a really nice, relaxing bath just now.
Wasn't it? Oh, my God.
Jillian, that was amazing. That was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I'm feeling it, too. I'm like, dang.
Talk about consciousness.
Yeah.
I feel like I had a – it was like I had a relaxing soak in a tub, and then I finish it off with a nice tingly shower.
Right.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool, girlfriend.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I like that, you know, we can control our stuff and just to be awake, and that's part of the consciousness as a cougar. That's what I see, you know, that we want to just stay awake, you know, and things happen, and how are you feeling? And check in with yourself throughout the day. You know, do you need one of these treatments? Do you need to do that with yourself for, like, 60 seconds, a whole whopping 60 seconds, and it can turbocharge you so intensely in just that short amount of time, even shorter.
Wow.
And everything, yeah. So, uh-huh. Where did we start?
That's a good, that's an excellent way to end the show.
Yeah.
Because our time is up, ladies. Donna, thank you for calling
and
participating in the show. I appreciate that.
Yeah, nice to meet
you.
I hope to hear from you again.
Yeah. Were you able to join us from the beginning of the show?
No, I wasn't, unfortunately. I had to do something.
Well, it was a good show. We got way off tangent, but it was good. I enjoyed it very much. I always enjoy talking with Jillian. And she'll be back next month on the second Monday. And in between times, you're stuck with just me. Yeah. Well, thank you both, ladies. And I hope that this makes a good beginning. I know it's going to be affect my whole week because I've got a new way of looking at colors now and mood rings. But mostly that last bit that you did with the lights, that's going to give me a new perspective.
Amazing. My pleasure.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Okay,
bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Be Unique's Manifest Monday Show. I hope you'll follow Be Unique on Blog Talk Radio so you can be informed every time a new episode drops. I'm here every Monday at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time when we talk about manifesting and how you can become a manifest master too. Until next time, this is Mary saying, so long.